The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Because what, like, that's my question is, what's Thriller even about?
Oh, man, that's a great conversation.
Like, Thriller's a song. What's Thriller about?
What are the lyrics? It's after me.
Yeah. Doo-ba-doo-ba-doo. Scoot-doo-ba-doo-doo.
Is it about zombies coming?
And then it's just, this is Thriller. It's just, this is Thriller.
Save this.
What is it?
Save this.
What do you mean, save it? I started already. I fucking started this shit. We're
That's
going.
So funny.
We're going.
You're so like, what the fuck? It's all it is.
It's
this
like
is
it's the best song in the world, but what is it about? What the hell is Thriller about? I'm gonna look up the lyrics to Thriller. I mean, we probably shouldn't even play it because it's licensed music, but I don't give a shit. Look at this, and then it starts. The video starts, due to my strong personal convictions, I wish to stress that this film in no way endorses a belief in the occult. Michael Jackson, the guy who owned Elephant Man's bones, wants to let you know he doesn't believe in the occult. Motherfucker, you Michael Jackson.
Run tell that.
Run tell that. I'll just, let's read the, let's not even do the music. And let's just read the lyrics to Thriller.
Can you read them as Morgan Freeman?
I don't know. You can read them. You can read them as.
It's after midnight.
It's after midnight. I almost got racist.
This is Thriller.
My computer's so like the internet in here sucks.
You ever heard Andy Samford's bit where he reads Wu-Tang lyrics as Morgan Freeman? Then a flying guillotine chops off your fucking head.
All right. It's close to midnight and something evil's lurking in the dark. Under the moonlight, you see a sight that almost stops your heart. You try to scream, but terror takes the sound before you make it. You start to freeze as horror looks you right between the eyes. You're paralyzed. Because this is Thriller. That's it. This is Thriller. What is Thriller? This is Thriller, Thriller Night, and no one's going to save you from the beast about to strike. You know it's Thriller.
And who the
thriller
fuck
night.
Is Billie Jean?
Thriller. Well, that's clearly a human being that he knocked up.
Oh, okay.
That's a totally answerable question. This is a concept.
When I was a kid, though, I thought Billie Jean was a guy because of Billy.
Well, that's your own confusion. That's you and your Care Bears.
And then later, it was like, oh, it's the tennis player, and I got really confused.
This is everything. Is just the idea of a thriller night. Is that maybe it's a. This song doesn't make any fucking sense. You hear the door slam and realize there's nowhere left to run. You feel the cold hand and wonder if you'll ever see the sun. You close your eyes and hope that this is just imagination. But all the while you hear the creature creeping up behind, you're out of time. Why, Michael? Because this is Thriller, Thriller Night. That doesn't matter. It's not Halloween. It's just a night? The night is the thriller? Now, whoa, this verse. Night creatures call and the dead start to walk in their masquerade. There's no escape in the jaws of the alien this time. Now there's an alien? Thriller is about everything. That's a good thriller laugh. Best song ever. I ever tell you I fucking freaked out to the song? I was riding my bike home when I lived in Burbank, and I rode my bike home, and it was on, and I was like having the best times in my headphones. This is a good headphone song, too.
Yeah.
Because it's scary. It's still scary.
And there's high production value.
Yeah, high production value. There's still like Vincent Price, like, you know, I'm not going to do Vincent Price. But then I get to my apartment when I live with roommates. I get home, it's late, rode my bike home, but it's still playing. So I'm like dancing up my stairs, and I get in, it's dark. I'm like, let's not turn any lights on. and keep my headphones in and listen to Thriller, but it's still scary, but I want to dance to Thriller, but also because I don't know what the Thriller is, I kept my bike helmet on. So I just danced by myself, listened to Thriller with my bike helmet on. I was real high.
In case somebody clubbed you in the head?
I didn't know. Hmm. I was taking anything.
Safety first.
Anything I could do. Anyway, this is a Q&A episode.
Didn't Eddie Van Halen play the guitar solo in that?
He did on Beat It.
Beat It, right.
And I just heard another very surprising... Oh, shit. Stevie Ray Vaughan did guitar on David Bowie's Let's Dance.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I just heard that on... Well, I was surprisingly listening to the radio the other night. I also didn't know Stevie Ray Vaughan was like 34 when he died.
Yeah.
Don't you think like Stevie Ray Vaughan was supposed to be 68? Like, how can you be?
He was 50.
Yeah. And also, how could you have the blues in your 30s? Like, I don't trust young blues people.
Well, especially young white blues people.
He's good at that guitar, though.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd. Just take it easy.
I remember when Kenny Wayne Shepherd came out when he was like the 9-year-old prodigy. Like, that's when I was buying guitar magazines. Like, this kid's a blues prodigy. Well, you can play the blues, but I don't think.
Yeah.
Tommy Davidson was a little kid. Tommy Davidson had a comedy special that my sister and I loved. And one part of it was he talking about like Elton John, and he would do the white guy voice, which when you first hear it is the funniest thing. We're like, I guess that's why they call it the blues. Time on my hands. And he just made fun of Elton John, and I lost my mind. And then he's like, that's not the blues. And he's just saying, like, blues from black people. And it's like actual bad things that happened. Like, that's what they call the blues. It was – what am I doing? Tommy Davidson bits?
I opened for Tommy Davidson about 8 years ago.
I heard he's out of his fucking gourd.
He did, like, 32 minutes and then just left.
Really?
Like, I'm out. And the club owner was like, I thought you were going to at least do, like, 45 kind of as a minimum. He did, like, 32 minutes and just bolted. And, like – didn't hang around, just walked out the door and got in his somebody's car and left.
I heard he's kind of out to lunch now.
Yeah, he seemed a little bit.
Somebody when he's in Chicago, somebody's like he came into the green room and told, this is funny. This is going to come together with our episode from a couple weeks. Remember the guy who was giving you spam email from Chicago?
Yeah.
He's part of the story.
Wow.
And so I forget, it was relayed to me like people hanging out in the green room, and I think Pat Bryce, R.I.P. Pat Bryce. There's a tribute show for Pat Bryce November. I'm just doing a plug now to only the people paying for this. But November 18th at fucking whatever they call White Sox Park now. I don't know. Cellular Field. Whatever bullshit they sponsor. Nobody cares about the Sox. But anyway, they're doing a tribute show for him. Pat Bryce is a comic, great comic. He would have been 40, died 10 years ago. He was opening for Tommy Davidson. And another friend who was hanging out was there. I was like, I guess. So apparently Tommy Davidson is just giving them unsolicited comedy advice. And he's like, no, you understand. Comedy, it's like treading water. It's like being in a pool. And proceeds to mime just swimming in a pool, going back and forth in the green room, like cracked out of his mind. Just, you're swimming, right? And you're swimming. And you're swimming. And you turn around at the end of the pool. And just pretends swimming back and forth in the green room where – the guy who we don't need to name him who sends the spam email that's dumb as shit.
Yeah, Captain Dipshit.
Yeah, Captain Dipshit was back there while his girlfriend on the green room tab, I think he was emceeing, on the green room tab was like, I want strawberry daiquiri. Now I want a white Russian. Now I want a vodka tonic. Now I want mozzarella sticks. By the end of the show, she's just barfing in the bathroom. But the guy, he's like, yo, man. My girl think Tommy Davidson roofied her.
Oh, my God.
After trying to figure out what's the worst combination of comedy club novelty cocktails and appetizers you could eat, barfed. And he's like, my girl think Tommy Davidson roofied her.
That's what happened.
Oh, a story from the past. Sorry, I just capitalized the first 10 minutes of the Q&A episode.
It's okay. There were some Q&As.
We didn't have any Q's yet.
Yeah. I got Q's. I don't have any A's.
No A's, all Q's. Let's get to it. Hey, thanks, Patreon members. This is your special episode that I commandeered for the first 10 minutes, and I apologize for that.
Right,
what?
By the way, sincere thank you. Seriously.
For real.
Yeah. appreciate the shit out of it. I really do. So
love the fuck out of you, dog.
Kyle could take it or leave it. It means a lot to me.
Yeah, man, I'm rich. I don't need this shit. I need you to answer my question. Suck my dick.
Oh my god.
Oh man, I want to have a moment where like Kyle went crazy.
There's nothing funnier than the cocky
just like big time. Oh my god. I wonder if I could wear it for a while.
I don't think you could.
I already feel bad and that was a joke and I already feel bad about it.
Okay.
But I love it as a character. Mm-hmm. I love big timers as characters.
Oh, I love big timer. I love just the cocky dumbass. I'll do that after a show sometime. Like if I got a couple of drinks in me, someone will come up and be like, "Hey, man, you were great." I'm like, "Yeah, no shit." And they're like, "Whoa." I'm just kidding.
Oh, this tells you when people stop donating, too.
Oh, really? Who would stop donating?
Todd Lancaster.
Oh, man. Come on, Todd.
It says $4 deleted by Todd Lancaster.
Wow, we must have stepped on his toes.
Well, he's not going to hear about it because this is for Patreons only. So, Todd Lancaster, suck my dick.
Oh, God.
This Patreon was your idea. Now we're burdened. Now we're burdened by these people and their expectations.
By the way,
Todd, I don't know if what you're doing. No harm, no foul, buddy.
I'll throw this out there.
Travis Hill went from $7 to $4. Oh, we didn't give you the three extra dollars, Trav.
Well, he was already going above and beyond.
Shaka bra.
You can't.
I'm going to say shaka bra is a negative now.
Feel free to throw out suggestions for Dave's kitchen. We got two under our belt at this point.
Feel free to throw out suggestions for Dave's home. Shaka bra.
What is shaka bra?
I don't know. It's like a cool, like when you do your hands like this.
Oh, no.
Shaka bra. Like it's a positive thing, but I'm going to say it like a negative.
Oh, man.
Instead of fuck you, I'm going to be like, shaka bra.
Damn, suddenly, that's a good way to get punched in the mouth.
Well, yeah. Well,
shaka bra.
Shaka my bra, bro.
Get out of here.
Shaka my bra.
Let's pay some cues. Hey, you right in the queue.
I'm on board with this. Let's do it. Right. Thanks.
Where to start?
Nice people.
Where to start?
Let's start from older to newer. I think the people who got the questions in
Danielle
later.
McCammett says, you have the questions post set to non-Patreons too, if you didn't know. Shit, my bad.
Oh, really?
That was me.
We fucked it up?
Thank you. Thank you, Danielle. I still don't know how this shit works. So anyway.
Yeah, we're new to it.
All right, just pick some out there, Kyle. Let's get to go.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize y'all's neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell. That's fucking metal. I'm sorry, I'm still on the thriller lyrics. That was very Halloween.
Speaking of which, what was everybody's beef in the Beat It video? Why the giant choreographed knife fight?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, back when videos were like a big deal.
I know, but what?
It was a big showdown. It was a showdown. They tied each other's hands together.
Yeah.
And that's during the Eddie Van Halen guitar solo.
I know, but if I'm gonna stab somebody, I'm not worried about dancing.
Yeah, well, it's like a musical, you know. You're not allowing the separation of forms. It's a music video. It's got to serve this music first and foremost. Who do we got to answer a question here? Who's saying what now?
I always like to do the very first question first. The person who chimed in the very
Do you
first
want
time.
This apple?
I'm gonna.
Oh, I thought you meant from all time.
Hayden says, any chance of a steak episode on Dave's Kitchen? I'm just leaving veganism, and I suck ass at cooking meat. Holy shit, what are the odds? That's exactly what I was thinking about doing on the next one.
Just leaving veganism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, wow. Yeah, I was actually thinking about doing my special steak recipe.
I'm actually, I have more questions for Hayden. Mm. Like, when you're leaving veganism, what's it going to be like
There's an exit interview.
Yeah. Are you sure?
I've done that. I was a vegetarian for 3 years, and my first meal back was the day after my girlfriend, my 9-year girlfriend, broke up. Mm-hmm. Not 9-year old, my girlfriend of 9 years, broke up with me. And to be honest, I was only
finally got to start eating hard food.
I was only a vegetarian because of her. And I was on the road, and me and Joe Zimmerman went to Outback Steakhouse in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I got a steak and a whole bunch of wings, and it was glorious. And it was like, fuck you, girl.
I think Outback did all right by me when I went there and had a steak.
Outback is solid. Yeah, it's good.
I had a steak. Homemade. We went to a steak, like a jazz grill the other day, Rachel. We had a special night out. But I got I forget what kind of steak, but it had like a big old fatty bubble on the end of it.
Oh, yeah. That's probably a ribeye.
Yeah, I think that's what I got. Mm-hmm. I like eating that fat.
Oh, me too.
Okay. I didn't know if I was a psycho because of that.
Oh, no. The fat's, that's where the flavor's at, baby.
But cutting in where the edges are fried. So, I mean, if that's, I don't know if you're going to give the guy an episode, but if you're getting over veganism, I mean, that's what like people are like, ooh, that part's gross. Why? You're already eating the other part of the animal.
Yeah, no, that's a good part.
Like, I know consistency, it's a little snotty. Like, it can be a little bit like, I mean, but that's why. It's like eating a piece of butter.
Yeah, you don't want like a whole piece of fat, like, you know, a big mouthful, but like.
No, I was like little slices.
Little slice.
Or let it melt.
Half fat, half beef, you know, on a bite. But yeah, oh yeah, good stuff.
So I don't know about. So you got a steak recipe? You want to give it away in this? Or you want to give it away for everybody to
have? I've given it away on a previous episode a long time ago, earlier.
Oh, yeah?
And so I'm going
to
do a visual component to that. So I'm going to teach you how to do it.
Oh, so that's going to be going live.
Yeah, I'm going to do a cast iron skillet in the broiler. Cast iron skillet in the broiler is what we're going to probably do on the next one. So there you go, Hayden. Stay tuned. That should be dropping around the 1st of November. So, yeah. Around the 1st for the
we're really not punctual.
The 15th for the Q&A. So
this I could just hear people undonating their money right now with how.
All right, let's get going.
Kyle and possibly Dave, thoughts on Kuma's Corner? That's another food question. Kuma's was good. It's a heavy metal burger spot in Chicago.
Oh,
and they do the big silly burger thing, but when I've eaten there, it has been good, big silly burgers, but they are like beyond the size of what's necessary. Especially if you're going to try and eat there and do something the rest of the night, you're either stuck carrying around leftovers if you don't want to leave them for somebody less fortunate than you to have, or you just ate a giant burger, you're full. A trick is, there's a place Kitty Corner from it. Not to throw Kuma's under the bus, but I'm going to look for it right now. They're like Kitty Corner from Kuma's, and so when you get to Kuma's, like, oh, yeah, you're going to wait an hour. You can go to this place, Kitty Corner's, and they're just making just as good burgers.
Hmm.
So I think they're called Corner Bar, and I'm going to find out right now looking at a map. But I remember walking over to Corner Bar and being like, oh, this shit's still delicious. But, yeah, they're fine. They do a good job. The ambiance is it's fun. It's a metal burger place. That everything's heavy metal, though, so I don't know.
The burger places and many other types of restaurants need to understand that bigger is not always better. It's like, okay, it's a 3-pound hamburger. Okay, how's it taste?
Yeah.
Well, Brandon Boyer asks, what's one topic you want to cover but don't think you will for one reason or another? I've thought about this recently. You know
one
what?
One topic.
I'll tell you one.
Well, we already talked about stepping on babies. What the fuck aren't we going to talk about? God damn it.
I have started to, and well, I always really have since it happened, but in recent times have gotten really interested in the 9/11 conspiracy. But I think it's just too big. I wouldn't know where to. I mean, that would be like a 5-parter.
What's the. Just all of it
that it's an inside job.
Yeah, I also feel like what are we going to say that's not
exactly
going to be for anybody's interest?
Dozens of documentaries out there.
I mean, they won't be as humorous.
That's true. But I mean, that's a topic that I'm very much interested in. But I don't even know if it makes sense to even do it here.
I guess we could find like one faction of it. I don't think there was I don't think there's any type of like bombs or anything. I think the conspiracy is that maybe it was like a, what do they call that type of fallacy? Not a false flag, but where they allow something to happen. You know, there's like, oh, False Flag or Straw Man or Gas. Like, but it's like where they allow. So like Gulf of Tonkin. Like, mm-hmm. oh, we need a reason. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we probably knew something was going to happen. That, maybe not specifically. Is that what it is?
I think so.
I thought False Flag is where you make up something to get people worked up. Well, no, it's not.
Well, that's kind of.
Well, I guess I'm getting confused because if you call it False Flag, it's like, no, it happened.
Yeah.
But it's like a false flag that terrorism is a threat, is that we let this one thing happen so we can now have an ongoing.
Didn't happen the way we.
Yeah, so now we can have a 16-year presence in the Middle East. Maybe that's what I would go into. But okay, yeah, I understand maybe not wanting to tackle that one. It seems a little bit. It's like talking about the Amityville Horror. It's like, what don't you know?
Yeah,
exactly. What angle are we going to take on it?
DJ Super Will. Dave, right. What fast food chain has the best milkshakes in your opinion? Next question for both.
We got to call Ryan Singer for that.
What's the worst bit / joke during a set you've ever heard someone attempt? Boy, he's going for the trifecta here. It's three questions. And for both.
Pick
when's
one of
the next
them.
Album coming out? Also, when will either of y'all be playing in Orlando? That's essentially five questions here, DJ.
We got them all. He's a DJ. He remixed them.
I'll answer the first question. What's the best fast food chain milkshake? Well, now you have to. We have to decipher what is a fast food chain. Is Steak and Shake a fast food chain?
I would put Steak and Shake in there. Oh, I got Cookout. I got a shake from Cookout when we're in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's just in the Southeast. Our Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina folks know about Cookout.
I love that it's a show called Cookout because it's basically like, oh, we're having a barbecue, but barbecue is a style of cooking, mm-hmm. whereas a cookout is what you have when you used to have a grill mm-hmm. and you cook outside. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciated that.
Yeah.
I told you about when I got a shake. And they had that whole list. I'm like, I guess I'll get a chocolate. And one was like, that's it? I'm like, I can pick more than one ingredient? She's like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, shit. Like, she gave me, like, that's it? Like, who just gets chocolate? I'm like, oh, I just got peanut butter, too.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Chocolate peanut butter.
You can't go wrong. Yeah, Ryan Singer is the expert on milkshakes. Yeah. But off the top of my head, if we're categorizing Steak and Shake as a fast food joint, I think they're top-notch. And Chick-fil-A. Good milkshake.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A's got
all that homophobia. They channel it into the chicken and the shakes.
Yeah, I get that cookies and cream. It's good. Solid.
I love a Dairy Queen. Yeah. I like – you ever see them where they're like pissed that they have to turn it upside down in front of you? It was in Montreal for the festival. And like the employee was just like so upset that he had to be like, oh, look. I want horror stories of that going wrong.
Yeah.
Or somebody just being so high, like, here's your nachos. Oh, shit. We're not supposed to turn those upside down.
If I worked there, I would just hand it to a nerd and turn him upside down. Take that. Dweeb.
What? Just the bully Dairy Queen. You hold it. I'm going to shake the change out of your pockets, nerd.
Hold this blizzard.
I like that angle. I got a tickle out of that.
Yeah, pretty good.
Well, that's one quite. What else did he have?
He asked, what's the worst bit joke during a set you've ever heard someone attempt? I mean, geez, where to start? Where to start? I can't answer that.
Yeah, that's going to happen all the time.
When's the next album coming out? Also, either of you are going to be in Orlando, Florida. I've been to Orlando several times. I keep trying to come back. And I got some good folks, good buddies, good connections in Orlando, but they're like, ooh, can't pay you nothing. Well, shit, I mean.
Yeah.
Can't work for free. They, I mean, not that they're going to expect me to work for free, but like they want to just do a straight door deal. Not to bore you with inside baseball, but I got to have a little bit of a guarantee.
Yeah, you got to tell me I'm covering gas and where I'm staying.
All these places. And that happens a lot. Every time I post a tour, people are like, hey, I see you got an open date, such and such. You want to come do my show in North Carolina? I'm like, yeah, cool. And then on email, I'm like, so what? We could pay you $35 and a free meal. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. I'm not a big wig, but I got to have more. I got to have a little bit of cash.
You're along. You ain't new.
Yeah.
You ain't new.
I ain't new.
Yeah, I owe Florida a little tour.
I would love to get back to Orlando. I've done, what is it? Is it?
I did Will's Pub when I was there.
Forgot the name of mine, but it was cool little dive bar.
Epcot Center. Yeah, it's cool little dive bar called Epcot Center. All right. Well, that's Florida. Do you have a worst joke you've ever heard? I remember in Chicago, back when they used to do an open mic at the Cubby Bear, which is going to be packed tonight. It's the fucking straight up bro central bar, mm-hmm. kitty corner from Wrigley Field. But they used to have an open mic, and some guy going up there like, "What's up with these fucking gay people?"
No.
And it was just.
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, this was
like
15 years ago.
But was it like shock novelty or that was his
bit? Yeah, I think it was a guy like trying like, why do they get a parade without any kind of hinting at anything? And I was drunk, surprised at an open mic. And I just, in the middle, I just went, best comedian ever. Just, there's very few times where I felt justified in heckling.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, fuck you. You're wasting our time.
Nothing sticks out, but I've seen a lot of that type of stuff of like, just A, it's bad, and B, are you that unaware? Like, just, you know, well, you know, women, all these rape victims, you know, maybe you shouldn't wear that kind of dress. Shut the fuck
like,
up.
Shitty. Well, that's the thing. Like, what comes first, the failed comedian or the libertarian slash white supremacist? Like, how many of these guys came out like they were all crappy comics first, and their comedy was like, and here's another thing about suppression of minorities. White people are minorities too, and certain like, yeah, that, none of that was comedy.
Yeah,
you are just an angry white dude, and oh, here's a amplification system I can get for free. Mm-hmm. Well, you're slowly becoming a shitty libertarian. The not a bad joke, but to go back to the same guy who's emailing you who I also just said thinks Tommy Davidson roofied his girlfriend, would do a joke about Tickle Me Elmo, but would use the phrase, so then I grabbed it and I squoze it, and we would all laugh at the use of the word squoze, and he continually kept thinking it's because the joke was funny, but it's because he thought the past tense of squeeze was squoze.
Oh, he wasn't trying to be funny?
No.
Oh, wow.
He's one of those people that the humor was purely unintentional.
Wow.
And I'm looking up squoze just to be sure.
Wasn't a joke, but...
squoze. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, surely not.
An informal non-standard past tense and present participle of squeeze.
Is it really?
Well, from our crowdsourced open dictionary. This isn't Merriam-Webster.
Not a joke. The worst thing I've ever seen at a show, right before I moved away from Atlanta.
Maybe it is. Fuck me if I'm wrong.
Doing a Thursday night open mic at Relapse Theater. And I won't name his name, but this fucking goober. And this is all you need to know about this guy. He teaches a comedy class.
Oh, strikes 1, 2, and 3.
And he has a podcast, which there's nothing wrong with that. But every time you see him, he's wearing his own merch of the podcast. He wears the podcast t-shirt everywhere you see him. And for no particular reason, and the guy is a goober, but I don't think he's a vicious, horrible racist.
Yeah.
But he's hosting the show. And a black comedian goes up and does a set. A guy you know. I'll tell you his name later. And
Hot water coming.
Black comic goes up, does a normal set, and doesn't... It's not like the black comic had a big chunk about the N-word.
Yeah.
I don't think he himself mentioned it at all. But then the host, when the black guy's done, the host comes back up and he goes, hey, keep it going for so-and-so. Uh-huh. We fulfilled our N-word quotient for the night. But he didn't say N-word. And it wasn't like...
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not like this guy just uses that word all the time, but I think he was like, hey, I'm going to be shocking. I'm going to be the bad boy. I'm going to say the inappropriate thing.
Yeah, that never works.
Keep it going. For so-and-so, we just fulfilled our N-word quotient for the evening.
Oh,
and
boy.
The room went silent. And it's like, you fucking moron.
Yeah.
And he teaches, class.
I want to know the names of these people.
I'll tell them to you.
The foulest stench is in the air. The funk of 40,000 years. Where did 40,000 come from? And grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller. The last two lines are the most haunting. No mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller. This is a conspiracy. I want to fucking find out. What is the thriller about? Because the last two lines are saying, even though you're scared, you're shitting your pants through this whole song, and it's got aliens and hounds of hell. And also one line is, girl, this is thriller, thriller night, so let me hold you tight and share a killer diller. That's what? Not.
Diller?
But then the last two lines are that human beings can't resist the thriller. Even though the whole song is about the thriller is trying to kill you, and then you can't resist the thing that's trying to kill. I think this is about population control.
I think it's about women.
Really?
Women trying to kill us. We can't resist them. I don't know.
Think Thriller is just about fucking?
No. I mean, it is Michael Jackson.
Because it's so literal. Like, there's no metaphor in here.
Yeah. Daniel Truitt asks, you guys have a favorite video game, past or present?
Ooh. Not that this goes in with the Jeep. What was the old school? Somebody just called me on it. The old school, like the red, yellow, and blue, was called Off-Road. It was like some racing guy's name, huh. Off-Road video.
I don't give a fuck about video games. However,
like, what about an arcade?
However, when I was a kid,
yes.
I did enjoy the original Nintendo. There was about a 3-year period where I was balls deep in that original Nintendo. Couldn't get enough Super Mario,
mm-hmm.
Metroid.
You can get the system now that.
Oh, I saw that.
What are you plugging it into?
I know. We're going to cigarette lighter.
We'll get you a Nintendo Switch. We'll get you a handheld console.
I would enjoy that. I would like. I couldn't give a fuck about modern games, but for nostalgia purposes, I love the original Nintendo. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
If you could get your hands in this, I'm sort of ripping this off from Ian Carmel's joke, but if you can get your hands on one of the Pimp My Ride rides.
I know that joke.
Like Ian Carmel, who we've talked about, is great. But he's like, those cars are still out there.
Yeah.
And just the, like, what, something you never thought about. Like, there's just somebody driving around with a Corolla with like 7 broken TV screens in it. Like,
fish tank.
Yeah, like, give me a ride to the airport. I can't. There's this empty fish tank that's still in my trunk. Like, are you hungry? Not anymore, dog. We got this panini press in the armrest. but if you got one of those cars, it would be great.
That would be cool.
Dave's living an old Pimp My Ride whip. He's just playing GameCube all night.
98 Ford Explorer.
There's still
with a jacuzzi in the back.
There's still some red vines in that infinite Wayne's World dispenser in the hood.
It's got a cotton candy machine.
It's got It's got its own. It's got its own soda fountain bubbler. Because they heard the original owner was really into Sprite.
Oh my god, that is good.
I have an Iron Man Stewart Super Off Road was the arcade game that I was super into.
Really?
That was just basic as shit. Fun, just like driving racetrack. I always like the car games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
California Cruising, where you got to sit in the car.
Do you remember Excite Bike?
Oh, hell yeah. Design I remember Excite. Yeah, Excite Bike. It's
just dumb little ramps.
Mm-hmm.
Just
zoom. Skate or Die. I was in the old Lester. You had to go up against Lester, who was Rodney Dangerfield.
Really?
If you look at the graphics of Lester from, I'm going to look it up right now, which I can't believe I'm remembering this from whenever the fuck I first saw Lester from Skate or Die, Rodney Dangerfield. Maybe I made it up. Maybe we're drinking whiskey. I'm not going to lie. No, it's fucking totally. Look at that. Load, you son of a bitch. Look at it. Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, of course. Wow.
Or that was Lester? No, wait. That was the guy who owned the skate shop. Anyway, there's a little nugget for people.
Tony Merlino asks, I know Kyle loves punk music. Dave loves country. Dave, what are some of your favorite punk bands? Kyle, some of your favorite country acts?
You guys
got me into old 97s. Kyle, see you in Tempe. Can't wait for the Boogie Monster t-shirts.
Tempe. Oh, yeah, Phoenix. People say Tempe. It's Phoenix. I don't understand.
I mean, country, alt country is my preferred. That and like certain types of like doom metal. But I definitely have an affinity for a handful of punk bands. My favorite probably being X. I love X.
Okay, okay.
Old LA band. Can't get enough X. I love Social D. Mm-hmm. Big Social Distortion fan.
Sure.
Those are probably the two that jump out. My favorite, yeah. You know. And those aren't like even like I don't know punk.
Yeah, you go, but you could dip into the metal still. That like crossover. You're a big yeah. Clutch dude. And yeah, Bongzilla and all the good yeah. Stoner rock. Yeah. Fu Manchu.
Yeah, Mastodon. I'm a big fan of. Even though mm-hmm. it's not stoner metal, but yeah, I would say X, Social D. I mean, there's a handful of others. Misfits. Duh.
Yeah.
Misfits probably. Maybe at the top of the list. Yeah. Misfits, X, Social D. Those
the classics, the
yeah.
old classics.
Yeah, can't get enough of that. What about you with any country stuff?
Country acts. I've said it before. I'll say it again, man. That Shania Twain will really get me going. Some real good sing-alongs, great voice, real hoo-ah, get you going type things. Even if it's there's certain songs that I don't know why I decided to attach to them, especially like being on the road, like by myself in a car, like – what if you just did sing Whose Bed Have Your Boots Been Under with your whole heart? They're good songs to sing to. Mm-hmm. They just go well and it feels good. So I like me some Shania Twain. I like me some Dwight Yoakam.
Oh, Dwight.
I like that Dwight Yoakam's like old school country dude, but not clearly it has more of an outsider vibe.
Yep.
Regardless what the music might sound like, you yes. could tell his stance and approach to the world is from
one of the best.
As much more of an open-minded, I think,
mm-hmm.
from a left field type thing. So I'm like, oh, good on this dude.
Speaking of X, they play together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, together. Shit. That's right. Didn't they just do that?
They did that about 2 years ago. They played a free show at some art gallery in Beverly Hills.
I remember seeing
X
that.
Opening like, for Dwight Yoakam.
And it was like, that just shows you, like, all right, like minds. Like, you can make different type of sounds, but the mindset and the ethos
yeah.
will match up. I mean, I like all the favorites. I mean, obviously, I have the old 97s and Rhett Miller and all whatever the factions breaking off the truckers.
Mm-hmm.
And who else have I listened to? Who's that?
I got you into a little bit of Sturgill.
Sturgill, yeah. Yeah, all the kind of obvious stuff. Some of that is it Roger Allen Wade.
Mm-hmm.
Or who's the guy that sang he was doing stuff with Johnny Knoxville. Which guy? Was that Roger Allen Wade?
Yes, he did do some stuff with him.
Yeah,
and the third did some stuff with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Roger Allen Wade is actually related to Johnny Knoxville, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're cousins.
Hank the Third, I'm a little bit confused by.
Yeah,
like,
it's a little bit forced.
It's a little bit of a Larry the Cable Guy thing. Like, mm-hmm. you're not, like, you're just the son of two millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I mean, he's got some good songs, but yeah, his overall thing is a little, I don't know. A
little Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Which is all of that kind of rockabilly.
Mm-hmm.
That was a tweet I put out. I said, yeah, Mike Ness is my favorite cosplayer. Because at what point, that's all rockabilly is cosplay, right?
Well, what was the joke? It's cosplay for...
We already jam on that?
No, you
bit?
Tweeted it one time, though. Cosplay for racist or...
I don't know.
It's good.
I like the idea of it, but yeah. So some of that stuff is like I used to be heavy into the rockabilly thing, and then it's like you're just pretending you're a time traveler.
I do like rockabilly, but man, that's one of those genres, kind of like hardcore, where like there is no range. It is just one trick pony.
Yeah, and if you show range, people are like fucking sell out. Yeah. You know, it's like. It how often can you just listen to like
the
yeah the upright bass like all right hep cats we're doing a thing all right and Johnny's got the car and the convertible babes dames dancing switchblades look out oh we drank a whiskey street fight at the drag race like how fucking boring and like how many times can you rewrite. Ooh, the smell of tires peeling out. Johnny's got his gal. We gotta go. Like, everybody's named Johnny. Like, if you went to a rockabilly concert, you're like, hey, Johnny. And then the whole concert's like, me? Ooh, hey. Fucking collar on my jacket's up. Looking for a fight.
Man. I went to a big rockabilly show about a year ago. Rodney from Starborn, yeah. Atlanta guy. Atlanta, the king of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
He took me to Reverend Horton Heat, Nashville Pussy, and Legendary Shack Shakers.
Mm-hmm.
And who I love all those bands, but man, that was That was a.
Is Nashville Pussy? Do they still put on the stage show? I saw them early on when it was still like nudity and spit and fire at the audience.
Yeah, there's still a little bit of that. Yeah, they got kind of rambunctious. But man, this was at the Civic Center in Atlanta, and it was after I headlined Relapse Theater, and Ronnie's like, "What are you doing now?" I was like, "I don't know." He's like, "Yeah. Come with me." I didn't even know where we're going, and it was like the Steadicam shot of Goodfellas when they're walking through the back of the restaurant.
Oh yeah,
like Rodney knew every person in that.
He's
thing.
That guy.
Every 7 feet, he's that he's guy. Shaking someone's hand or fist bumping somebody, and we're going through the. We went backstage. I'm hanging. There's Nashville Pussy and Reverend Horton.
Yeah,
he's just like, man, gotta hang with Rodney.
Rodney makes my voice sound like chocolate milk. Like creamy, silky, smooth cocoa, hot cocoa.
Yep. Anybody visiting Atlanta every Monday, one of the best shows in the country, it's Star Bar. Check it out. Rodney's the host.
That's my testament. Like, nobody, like, there's no straight edge people who like EDM. And give me one rockabilly band that doesn't have costumes, and I'll show you a rockabilly band nobody listens to.
Hmm.
Like, can you be a rockabilly? Can you be in a rockabilly band and not wear the Halloween costume?
I don't think so.
You know, I've seen punk bands where you see these guys, they look like dweebs up there, but like, oh, wait, but the band's good. You're from the right place. Cool.
Yeah.
But I've never seen a rockabilly band where some guy's just got Asics on, you know? Whoa, daddy-o! That upright bass player's wearing New Balance. Ooh, square.
Oh, man. That's good.
You got one? Well, let's see. We got Kyle. Is there ever any follow-up with that poet that ripped you off? Yeah, I found him on Instagram. I told him, and he told me a weird thing about he thinks he may have ripped it off to try and get laid. Kind of creepy. But anyway, it was addressed.
Did he apologize?
Yeah, he was apologetic. And was just like, I'm sorry. I was just, you know, maybe regurgitated something. And it gave me some list.
No.
Well, it gave me some list about, like, listen, that showed up like on a writer's workshop page that was not supposed to be published. Either way, I was satisfied with his response. Who is the most famous or important person to you that you've met doing stand-up? From Phil Schultz.
Huh. That's a good question. Man, maybe a couple weeks ago at the first live Boogie Monster podcast.
Patterson.
I've just been such a fan for literally 20 years. For the last 20 years, he's been my favorite musician.
Yeah.
And it was just such a treat to get to hang out with him a little bit and have him on the show. But as far as an actual stand-up, you know, especially being out here for a while, you try not to get too starstruck. Like, we've all done shows out here where you're like, oh, Dave Chappelle dropped in or Louis C.K. dropped in or whatever. But kind of early in my career, the Beards of Comedy, we're doing a tour, West Coast tour, and we're doing some bar gig in – oh, man, what was the name of this place? Some town in Washington State. And it just so happened, the same night, across town, Brian Regan was doing his big theater show.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the Beards had met Brian a few weeks earlier in Atlanta. I don't know how. They were opening for Maria Bamford at a club. Brian was in town doing his big theater show. He's friends with Maria Bamford. He stops by after the show. Hangs out with everybody, and a couple of Joe and Andy or somebody met Brian. Anyway, so they put the word out to his manager, hey, it looks like we're going to be in the same town on the same night. If by any chance Brian wants to grab a drink after the show, long shot, stop by. I'm closing the show. I'm the last of four Beards to perform. I'm closing the show. There's 20 people in this little dive bar. I'm going into my closer. I got 2 minutes before the whole show's over. I see Brian Regan walk in, him and his couple guys, not an entourage. Like
he doesn't
manager.
Seem like a guy that rolls deep.
No, he's not an entourage guy, but it was like his tour manager and maybe his opener. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm like, what the fuck is that, Brian?
Yeah.
And usually, like the last Beard to go kind of closes the whole show, like after my set, like, all right, guys, that's our show. Give it up for the other Beards. Thanks for coming out. Well, I hit my closer. And I was about to go into that spiel.
Yeah.
And Joe Zimmerman, like, almost tackled me. Like, he just kind of came up a little too quick to where I saw him out of my periphery. Like, what's going on? Yeah. And he just kind of grabbed the mic away from me. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And sure enough, Joe's like, guys, keep going for Dave Stone. Anyway, normally that would be the end of our show, but we have a special guest tonight.
Called for override.
Ryan Regan came and did a 20-minute guest spot.
Yeah.
And just destroyed. Well, he didn't destroy. It was funny because literally 20 people in the crowd and half of them didn't know who he was, even though he's one of the best comics of our generation.
They don't know.
He's not a household name outside of the comedy world. So they're like, who's this guy? And to see him actually have to earn it, to work, to break a sweat was amazing. And he's digging deep into the vault, doing some old classics, doing the spider web joke. And it was so cool to watch him work in front of 20 people. And, of course, eventually he got them and destroyed. So that was amazing. Then, after the show, he hangs out at the bar for a few minutes. We have a couple drinks. We think that's it. We're like, oh, my God. It was so nice. We think that the night's winding up. He goes, what are you guys doing now?
Yeah.
And we're like, we're not doing nothing. He goes, you want to hang out on the tour bus? And he orders two bottles of Patron from the bar. Just ordered bottles of liquor from the bar and a case of Coors Light, had his tour manager put it on the bus. We all go back on the bus, orders his bus driver to just drive around the city for 2 hours, just driving on their little perimeter.
Oh, see, what a fucking guy.
And couldn't have been any nicer and treated us like equals. And we're all 4 years into our career, like, don't know what the hell we're doing. Mm-hmm. And he just couldn't have been any nicer, just anecdote after anecdote, just the nicest dude in the world. And I'll tell you one quick anecdote. He was he took an interest in, like, what's the deal with the Banta Comedy? And for those who don't know, it was me, Andy Sanford, TJ Young, and Joe Zimmerman. It was something we did early in our career just to kind of get out on the road and tour because none of us were headliners yet. So it's like, let's just combine forces. And it started off as like a dumb joke thing, and it turned into a bigger thing. But anyway, we were just telling him about the origin of the Beards of Comedy. And one of the anecdotes we used to always tell when we started in Atlanta, every dipshit with a 5 o'clock shadow would come up to us and be like, start rubbing his chin and be like, hey, if you ever need a fifth member, you know, let me know. And we told him that story, and he goes, oh, man, I taught. Jeez, I can't do a Regan impression. I can totally relate. I used to be in the Big Cocks of Comedy. And everywhere we go, people come out and pull out their dick. And I'm like, yeah, it's a big dick, but you're not funny. You know? So, yeah, I know what you mean. Just so quick and such a sweet dude. And, like, for a guy who'd been doing comedy 4 years, like, holy shit, what a lasting impression that was. Well, so, anyway, long story, but, yeah,
Regan. And especially when it's a guy you would think, like, seems like he'd be a cool guy. And then you hear a story like that. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Thank God. I wonder if he is jerked off in front of people. How many have to fall?
I hope not him.
Please not Regan. Yeah. Please, Brian, no.
Man, we were all like, what the fuck?
That is. Like, see, that's heartwarming. That's a heartwarming story.
And dumb old Joe Zimmerman kept in touch with him.
Yeah.
And now he's his opener. He's fucking all right. Fuck Joe.
I see that fit perfectly. I see the style fitting perfectly.
Absolutely. They're both squeaky clean.
Yeah. And goofy. But funny.
But like, funny as shit. And
clean
but
is not an undermining characteristic.
Joe's with him. Joe was on his private jet last week.
Oh, sure. Instagram. Take a fucking jet.
I'm on a Learjet. So, yeah. Good job, Joe. I should have sent that email.
You should have. You fucked up. Made mistakes. That's what I did to a guy named Simon who came to the show in Providence where I'm like, I needed an opener. And a shout out to Monk Kelly, who somebody – I was like, I didn't realize I didn't have openers for the show. And another guy, Tom – I think his name's Tom. He's like, I'm too drunk, but if there's an open mic going around the corner, I can grab somebody. I'm like, please do. We're supposed to start in like 5 minutes. And a guy named Monk Comedy Monk Kelly, who was at the open mic, stepped up and was like, I'll do it, and came and just – I went up like, hey, somebody's going to open, and just took the spot. Couldn't be more grateful.
Nice.
And just could tell, like, all right, yeah, open micer. You knew at comedy, but you took a chance, a weird chance that came in. Had a couple, like, you had your couple centerpiece jokes in there that worked. And fucking thank you. Awesome. Take a chance.
Yeah.
You're already going to do comedy. Why be scared of anything? But then another guy I was talking to, and I'm busting his balls right now. His name is Simon. He's a sweet dude. He's like, oh, I should have. I'm like, yeah, you want to go up and do it? He's like, I don't have, I'm not really ready. I'm like, all right, man, well, we're starting soon. I kind of just want to get somebody to jump up there and just take the bullet for me. I'm being like, mm-hmm. Also, people paid money. Let me give them something extra, yeah. You know, not just me for an hour, and then that's it. Yeah. And he's like, afterwards, he's like, oh, I thought you wanted somebody for like 25 minutes or something. I'm like, no, man, just a spot. Yeah. And I signed his joke. He's like, Simon, will you sign my joke book? I'm like, Simon, you're really fucked up. And he saw it. I'm just joking with him, but.
Lesson
next time
there.
I'm through, I think he's from Wyoming or Montana. Either way, look next if I'm coming through Wyoming or Montana, Simon, look me up. We'll get you up there.
Lesson there, young comics, always be ready to go up.
Yeah.
Always be ready to go up.
That was a big thing when I was in Chicago. John Roy got like, oh, it was like a last minute thing. Like, hey, do you want to open up for Stephen Wright at the Vic? And was like,
whoa.
Like, and so it
was
like
a last minute thing.
Yeah, and he came back to the show. It was like that was that night. Look, what was it like? What's the Vic like backstage? Like I saw Green Day at the Vic. I saw these guys like Stephen Wright. So what's Stephen Wright? He's like, it was weird. He didn't talk much. But the show was good. I was like, and it was just being the on call dude.
Yeah, be ready.
Like, listen, if you're a comedian, you're just like a doctor.
That's true.
You're just like a doctor, and you always need to be ready for an emergency where someone I need jokes stat.
What about you? Do you have an answer to that question?
I don't think – I mean, not doing stand-up, but because of stand-up, I've been in things.
Like well, and because of stand-up, you're at the level now where you have fans that are pretty big deals. I mean, we went backstage at the Hollywood Bowl because somebody was a fan of
it. Oh, yeah. Old Wolfie. Old Wolfgang Van Halen's a big stand-up fan.
That's
so
cool,
so.
Yeah.
So Eddie Van Halen's son, who's a...
He's a Kyle fan.
But also just like a... Like, he came out to the Comedy Store once. It was like I forget. I think it was like joking with him on Twitter. I'm like, hey, man. He was like, you're doing the show? And I'm like, yeah, come on by. He was hanging out. Just like regular dude hanging out in a Jimmy World hoodie. Just a fucking regular dude.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, you're not a fucking chotch, at least from the bit that I've hung out with him. I'm like, okay, I know this is weird. Hey, man. Yeah, you got any comps for when you're playing the Hollywood Bowl? Yeah, man, come on. Here's four. Come on out.
That was so cool.
Come on, hang out backstage. And the backstage of the Hollywood Bowl is still meant for 200 people in a spread.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I think doing the house when like Will Ferrell and Amy Paul, like once you're there, all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah, we're all part of the same job.
Yeah.
But just like, oh, we're all sitting in the same shitty chairs waiting to shoot our scenes, just riffing.
Yeah.
Just being funny.
That's awesome.
And so it was kind of like...
How was Will Ferrell?
Just a totally nice dude.
Really?
Goofing around, just sitting there goofing with people. Like, hey, we're all at work.
Yeah.
Like if you worked at a Radio Shack with him, he'd be the same guy. And we're at work today.
Huh.
Just goofing around.
That's awesome.
But, I mean, like people that I've gotten... I still think Larry from Peg Boy coming to hang out when I was trying to do a sketch for Loose in Chicago. And uh-huh. The sketch didn't
fit
with
the thing. Opening thing?
Yeah.
Was he... And
but Larry...
He
yeah, Larry... Yeah, Larry came. I'm just like, man, I... Like... And he's like the most unlikely guy who would be there. I was just like... He would like dry heave between songs and always be like, kind of like telling you, like, oh, I want to do this right. He's like, stop. Like, let me read the thing and putting on his reading glasses to read the dumb script I wrote about farts and stuff. I'm like, oh, just a fucking, I mean, that's like a hero. That's, I'd say that falls under important person. I don't know if he's famous to anybody, but he's important to me.
Yeah.
I would say, we need some spooky questions for the goddamn October Boogie Monster.
True.
Ooh, Sarah Perez. Do you have any Perez? But the accent's over the first E. Sarah Perez. Do you have any recurring dreams? What is one of the craziest, scariest, weirdest dreams you have ever had?
One time I had a dream a hamburger was trying to eat me. Sorry.
What was that from?
Seinfeld.
Yeah. Okay.
Reoccurring dream.
You know what I get fucked up with recurring dreams is that whenever I wake up thinking like I've had that dream before, I can't be sure because it's a dream. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the dream I'm like, this is your recurring dream, but that's the first time I've had that dream.
Hmm.
Because you don't know. Have I had that? I forget every dream. I can't remember a dream right now.
I have one reoccurring dream that I've probably had 20 times in my life.
Really?
I'm playing a basketball game. Full court, 5-on-5, and I'm dominating.
Yeah?
Just crushing. sinking three pointers, dishing the rock. But I just, it's a reoccurring dream where it's, and it's very vivid because I used to play a lot of basketball as a teenager.
Yeah.
And just 5-on-5, but just everything's clicking. Just, I'm just running the show, just schooling people. But I've had that dream 20, 25 times. There's no twist at the end, no nothing. Just, and it's a long, vivid.
It's like a dog. It's like a dog chasing something. Yeah, like, this is what I wish would happen in my life.
Yeah, just crushing a basketball.
Do you have triumphant dreams more often than you have? I have more stress dreams, or I have what do they call it? Like dreams where it's about a real situation. I have dreams about stand up where I'm not ready to do a show or I didn't write the stuff. I have that a lot. I have way more stress dreams than I ever have, like, I'm the champ dreams. I never have dreams where I wake up like, that's right, you're fucking great. I have dreams where I wake up and I'm terrified or I'm sad because I'm really convinced somebody died or I hurt somebody or said something really bad. Mm-hmm. But I rarely have dreams where I wake up and I'm like, yay, buddy, you're the shit.
That's the only one that I can remember that falls under that category are the basketball dreams. But yeah, I can't remember any other dream, reoccurring or not, where like, yeah, man, that was awesome. Mm. It's usually like, oh God, thank God that was a dream.
That's a good question. I realize also that I was looking up if you can astral project via sleep paralysis.
And what exactly does that mean?
I'm not quite sure. It's where you can kind of separate your consciousness from your physical body. So basically be in a dream state, but aware. I think it's not unlike, I'm very uneducated about it. No shit. I'm very, but I think it's not unlike lucid dreaming.
Okay.
Where you're in a dream state separated from your physical body, mm-hmm. but you know that. So you're like, oh yeah, I'm not a regular physical person. I'm going to fly around and do cool shit right now.
Hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out if I can re-harness my sleep paralysis and navigate it towards something like that. So that may answer this question a little bit better after I do that. Hmm. I'm going to jump into some more questions. Rick Foster, this is a quick one. Would you guys consider doing a Twitch stream of some horror games? I just found out what Twitch is. It's where you watch people play video games. But I think there's a camera on the people playing and a camera on the screen. But if it's horror games, Rick says, would love to see you guys shaking in your boots playing Outlast or something like that. I agree. He said it could be a good way for Dave to get some of that living indoors money. Yeah. How's your attitude now, Dave? Now you're excited.
Oh, I mean, someone wants to pay me to do it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a podcast. You just watch people play video games, and I guess it's commentary, and you're just fucking off.
Huh.
You ever play it like a scary video game? Mm-mm. Ooh. Dave. Mm-mm. All right. I don't know a lot about him, mm-hmm. but there was one I played at a Dave and Buster's and like straight up lost my mind.
Really?
It was 4D too, because there was like little fans or air jets in it too. So something would like blow on your neck and then in the screen you'd turn around and there'd be a zombie behind you or something.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was we just heard people screaming in this game. It's like a little booth that you sit in, and you're just whatever, haunted house, shooting zombies or whatever. But the fact that it's virtual reality with the headsets and the sound and like air blasts, like almost like when they would do the smell-o-rama or whatever, the ticklers, like the old-timey movie theaters in the 50s,
yeah.
It was like that, but with the virtual reality goggles on. And me and my buddy Jesse lost our shit.
I bet.
And Jesse's a no-fuck-around dude.
Uh-huh.
And we were both in there just – and giddy as hell. Like couldn't be happier.
Wow.
I'll get high as shit, and we'll sit in here with the lights off and play a scary video game.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not opposed to video games. I just haven't really been exposed to them in the last 20 years to where
– No, me neither.
Like I just – Okay, here's my quick theory on video games, and I'm probably wrong, and I know people who love them are very passionate about them, but what little I've dabbled in since my childhood, I don't take anything away from it. Meaning, I can listen to music, and it enriches me somehow, it fulfills me. A good movie, I take something away from it. A book, a play, a stand-up show. Video game just seems like a time suck. Like, just
Dave, big theater guy.
Just, yeah. I am. But, like, I don't take anything away. It was just like, okay, that was fun, but nothing. I'm not. Nothing's coming with me from that experience.
I agree, too. Like, at the end of it, like, if I'm challenged by a video game, it doesn't make me want to try harder at it. It makes me want to do anything else. Like,
yeah.
Well, I'm not good at video games. Thank you for letting me know. I'm going to go do something else that's productive. Because being good at video games still doesn't result in any satisfaction from the real world. I'll play now because I play with my friends and it's cool to talk to my buddies back home. We dick around shooting a shit on each other. And sometimes it's a nice release.
I get that.
But
I
also, if I'm looking at a TV, I want to just look at it. I want to sit there and eat my snacks and be entertained. When it comes to being interactive with my entertainment, I would rather, you know, go ride my bike or try and fix a thing or do something physical.
Yeah.
So I understand entirely. Also, they're hard now. They're really hard.
Really?
Yeah. So if there's one of these games, like a horror game, that's also not like – I hate sounding like as old as I am, but like there's fucking 87 buttons on a goddamn PlayStation controller.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do with all of them. Anyway, more from Senior Citizen Video Game Reviews. Hey, there's so many buttons.
Oh, here's a good one.
Okay.
Best Halloween candy.
Oh.
And are the people who give out healthy options bad people or shitty people? Yes, absolutely. Yeah, fuck your healthy candy. It's one day a year.
It's not the time.
It's one day a year.
When there's a time and a place, yes.
Give me some fucking candy.
Yeah, fuck that.
Best Halloween candy. All right, sub question. When it comes to candy, Kyle, are you a chocolate person or are you a confection fruity?
Fruit guy all the way.
Candy.
Yeah, Sour Patch Gummy Bears.
That's right.
Top of the thing.
That's the top of the
thing. Ooh, I still got some in here, I think. Fuck yes.
Sour Patch Gummy Bears.
Yeah.
Okay. What else is in that category you like?
I like a Mike and Ike.
Uh-huh.
I love straight up just jelly beans, like Jelly Belly jelly beans.
Jelly Belly.
Yeah, like yeah. Good. But I like, you know what makes
you
good?
Like just old fashioned.
You know what makes good? Starburst makes some good ass jelly beans.
Yes, they
Starburst
do.
Makes some good ass jelly beans.
I would say even better than Jelly Belly because you don't have to worry about getting that random bullshit.
Yeah, that fucking wing nut X factor.
Yeah,
like
that.
Oh, WD-40, go fuck yourself.
No. Yeah.
This one tastes like your own asshole. God damn it, Jelly Belly.
Starburst jelly beans.
Starburst jelly beans are great. A weird one is the Gummy Lifesavers.
I was just about to say, gummy what's life-saver? Weird about that? That's great.
I mean, I like all the gummies. Like, yeah. Pretty much all the gummies.
It's the gummy, but with the beautiful flavors of the Lifesaver.
They really did well with that. Oh, my goodness. I love just some straight-up Skittles. I'm like, maybe I want the tropical Skittles. Maybe I want berry bonanza Skittles. Mm-hmm. I like those. All like the fruit gummy sector, I'm all about. Not saying that once in a while, like, listen, if I want to just be my dad, if I just want to straight up be my dad and be like, you guys ride your bikes at 7-Eleven, bring me back a payday bar. Love a payday bar. Chocolateless candy bar.
Wow.
Nougat with a nutty exoskeleton. Oh, we didn't dip this one in chocolate. So what?
So what?
Have a sophisticated adult candy bar. Eat a payday.
Hmm. See, I'm the exact opposite of you. I do love all the fruity candy, but that is secondary to my chocolate sweet tooth.
Where are you at with candy bar? A Snickers great. A classic Snickers?
Snickers is good. It's not great. It's the old standby. It's
what are they going to do to a candy bar that's better than a Snickers?
Snickers is playing it safe and being responsible about your candy. It's got some peanuts.
But from the get-go, but it's just an originator. It's the AC/DC of candy.
It's fine. Exactly. It's the AC, it's the meat and potatoes. Nothing wrong with it.
All right.
It's not the best.
Who's blowing your mind in the chocolate department?
Kit Kat. All day Kit Kat. You got the chocolate, you got the wafer. Don't ever underestimate the wafer component to a candy.
Ray Harrington going off on Kit Kats when I was working with him. He's like, fuck a Kit Kat. It's just your goddamn space cookie hiding under some chocolate.
Beautiful thing. Kit Kat and a strong number two.
One note. Kit Kat's one note. And fuck their commercials. On top of the
note,
Kit Kat.
It's two notes. It's chocolate and wafer.
On top of that, their commercials are gross. Their whole commercial is like, yum. Like, you know how we ate the pizza one time into the microphones and it was the worst thing anybody ever heard? That's their whole ad campaign is different people eating their food.
Kit Kat is amazing and a strong number two. And this is just in recent years. Man, and peanut M&M. There is something so satisfying about a peanut M&M. More so than the regular M&M. And I like the regular M&M. But that peanut M&M, the crunch, the texture, the chocolate. Oh, yeah. The popability factor.
Popability.
Mm-hmm. Got a handful of those fuckers.
I was at a bar once getting a beer, and I was like, what about this beer? And the guy's like, yeah, it's got good drinkability. And I almost slapped him in his face.
Yeah, you should.
Like, yeah, it's a drink. It should have – the noun should be an adjective for it. How's this food? It's got good eatability. Yeah, fuck face. That's what it should have. Popability describes the way you would consume it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? Having not had peanut M&Ms, I'm kind of like, nah. I bet if there was some right here and I had one, I'd be like, you're right. Totally.
It's a good time.
Individual chocolate bits. I like a straight up M&M. You know what I'm going to throw in there? And this is a real weird one. Like yogurt covered raisins.
That's weird about that.
That's that doesn't even come up as a candy. That shows up in trail mix.
That's a good snack.
That shows up in trail mix as a thing.
Yogurt covered pretzel also.
I'll get crazier with you. What about those chili covered mango slices?
I don't think I've had.
I don't even know what the Spanish term is for them.
Chili covered mango slices.
Chili, salt, sugar, chili covered mango slices.
Like the dried mango?
Yeah.
Is it dried?
You'll see
I do like the dried
mango. Like, you know when you're at like a 7-Eleven or something, they have like the name brand candy, and they just have the straight up Mexican.
Generic ass.
Like hand packaged candies. Like this was made by one family down the street, and they're trying to make it look like Haribo or something. But the chili, like, it's usually that.
Okay.
And then they got like a bag with like six hot peanuts in it next to it. It's all the same header on the labels.
Yeah.
Get them mangoes with the chili powder.
Okay.
Like when you get the fruit from the fruit guy on the street.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's not fucking with the street fruit.
It's a real LA-centric thing, I think.
Is it? I feel like I see it ever.
I haven't seen it in other cities.
Duh, if anybody's not taking a chance on that street fruit. And this is from a guy who still hasn't had street corn in LA. I still have not had street corn. Yeah.
Haven't had the elote?
No, still have not had it. That's on me.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, there's hundreds of these little carts around LA. Imagine like a little hot dog cart or something, but even smaller. And it's just a cart with a big glass case on top, and in that glass case is a bunch of fresh fruit packed in ice.
Mm-hmm.
There's a watermelon. There's a random papaya. There's some pineapple. There's some mango. And you go up.
What's the hibiscus?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Fibrous. Yeah. Fuck.
Well, there's some coconut, but.
But no, it's different. Oh, shit. Yeah. I got to look it up. You describe it. No.
So anyway, the dude has all these big pieces of fruit packed in ice, and then $5 for a small, $8 for a large. He will just make you a fruit cocktail. Mm-hmm. He'll chop up some chunks of pineapple, some chunks of papaya, some chunks of mango, some watermelon, throws it in a bag, not a container, but like a giant sandwich bag, plastic bag, and then they'll squirt a little picante sauce or hot sauce or chili powder in there, shake it all about, and boom. You eat it with a fork, or you can get sloppy with your hands. But yeah, just a bag.
It's the chili powder in it that's so good.
A bag of fruit chunks. And boy, and it's just fresh. Just, you know, they chop it up right there in front of you. No prepackaged, nothing. Just cold, fresh fruit, sliced up, chunked up, and then doused in picante.
Jicama.
Sauce. Jicama. There you go. Yeah, good times. Good times, the old fruit guy. They're everywhere. They're on every corner.
Look at us being mature. We've actually transitioned into just talking about straight up fruit when asked about candy. But as far as Halloween candy, like, what's the best? Like, you know what? I will agree that the two-stick Kit Kat when you get it is nice.
Oh, yeah.
Especially and the semi-large. Remember when gummy bears were just like the cinnamon ones? Just a big red cinnamon gummy bear? You get like one, but it was like an inch and a half big.
I don't remember that.
Oh, all right.
It's been a regional thing.
Could be.
Hmm.
Swedish Fish.
Dave, can you tell us the story behind the documentary you were apparently in?
Yeah, what happened to that one?
Oh, my God.
Got us to Hawaii for the first time.
Jesus. Long story short, big budget, million-dollar budget. Did you know that? They had a million-dollar budget, which isn't much for a movie, but for a documentary, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Had a deal with Netflix. It was supposed to be on Netflix. We spent a year shooting this thing. It was called Gutbuster. The premise is a chubby stand-up comedian struggles to maintain a healthy lifestyle on the road, and so he tries to change it up. Half comedy documentary, half nutrition documentary. So basically, they just followed me around for a year. And
million-dollar budget, and they didn't have to feed you.
Yeah.
So that they saved a lot of money.
And right in the middle of it, like in the second act, I go on a 90-day raw vegan smoothie diet. I lost 61 pounds, have since slowly gained all of it back because it was just like a crash. I literally only drank raw vegan smoothies.
I remember
for
you would like just watch people eat, like, yeah. And I'm not trying to, but like when a dog is at the side of the table watching people eat food, yeah. Like, I know what all that tastes like.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You were, and I was, I think everybody was thoroughly impressed because you weren't drinking either.
I didn't drink. Didn't do anything. No meat, no sugar, no carbs, no alcohol.
Yeah.
Just raw veggies and some fruit.
That was one of the most hardcore things I think I've seen somebody that I know do as far as dieting and this and that.
Well, and I can't like, take any credit for it. They were paying me.
I know, but even still, if somebody paid me to not drink, I still don't know. Like, yeah.
And it worked. I lost 61 pounds in 90 days, which is – unhealthy. You're not supposed
yeah,
to
that's
that
not. Maybe
that.
That's why the documentary didn't come out. Yeah. Actually, it was dangerous what we did to this guy.
And I mean, it looked good. I saw the teaser for it. You were in it. Rory Scovel was in it. Pete Holmes. That was funny when you were busting Pete's balls in Hawaii.
Oh yeah,
he got a little diva.
Yeah, we got it.
Nikki Glaser was in it. Andy Samford, Ryan Singer, Billy Wayne Davis. I interviewed John Panette 4 days before he died.
Did they say how he died?
I think just
cause of death being John Panette.
Yeah, and but yeah, it was a good documentary. We spent a year shooting it, and then they still owe me money. By the way, they still owe me a sizable.
Ooh,
amount
you want to call
money.
Them out? Want to call them out by name?
I mean, they owe me a sizable amount of money. Well, I can't remember the name of the production company. Icarus Arts Production Company.
Icarus Arts, payback Dave, or we're coming for you.
They still owe me some money. And the story I kept getting was I think they ran out of money in post-production and couldn't finish it, or I don't know what the
fucking
hell the problem
chachos.
Was. And they still, once a year, I get a fucking email. Oh, we're shooting for 2018 and blah, blah. Yeah, you know, thanks, but no thanks. But yeah, that thing was supposed to be on Netflix and could have really helped me out, but oh well. So yeah. And people still ask me because I think it's on IMDb. Coming in 2018, Gutbuster.
Yeah, man, that was a long thing.
It ain't fucking coming out.
Dave Davidson asks, if you had to have an offspring with any type of mythical creature monster, what half-breed child are you creating? I like that.
Huh.
What you fucking, Dave? Well, is it eugenics if you want to breed with something that you deem as a higher potential than human? Like, if you're fucking an alien to make a better thing, or what would you rather just straight up get freaky with? And if you had a kid with it,
I mean, none of the cryptids are very attractive.
No, but we already discussed the fluidity of sexuality on. The episode for last this whenever that one
get a
was.
Hold of the lady squatch, I guess, and give her the what for
lady squatch. Squatching at yeah.
I don't know. I would imagine. Squatch. I bet you there's some sexy lady aliens.
I think, but beyond the fact of physical attractiveness, because I think if. I mean, I think through some sort of telekinesis, an alien's going to make if they want to fuck you. Like, they don't fuck you. They just come and take your jizz.
Oh, yeah. Plus, they like don't. A gray alien, they're pretty frail.
But you don't know that. You don't know what their inner strength is. You don't know if they got core strength. You don't know if, like, telepathically they're going to convince you that they're hot.
Mm-hmm.
I would think, Dave, I'm picking for you. I would think, like, you'd fuck a werewolf just because you already want to fight.
Hmm.
I think your need to fight coyotes is saying something stronger
really?
Than to what you want.
That makes me sound like a creep.
All of this makes us sound like creeps. Yeah, we're talking about fucking things that aren't even real.
Yeah, that's true.
I would I mean if it's about reproducing, I wonder if you fucked a werewolf, would that mean it would only be one quarter werewolf? Or no, the kid would be one half werewolf, which means also they're never lady werewolves. Is it a male thing only? Because if that's the case, reproducing is out of the question.
I ain't fucking no dude werewolf.
I ain't fucking gay for werewolves.
Gross.
Well, wait, if you fuck a werewolf, is the kid a werewolf? Or does the kid have to be bit by a werewolf to be a werewolf? Same goes for vampires. If you fuck a vampire, but you're not a vampire, like you like, all right, listen, you're a vampire, I'm not, we'll have sex. It's like a Jewish thing where if the mother's a vampire, then it gets passed down. But if the dad's one, like there's so many more questions out of this one question.
Oh, man.
And if you're a half werewolf from one of your parents being a werewolf, that means you're really only a quarter werewolf because a werewolf's only half werewolf anyway.
True.
Because you're still a guy. So does that mean when there's a full moon, you only change into, like, you just get, like, really hairy hands and feet? You just howl too much, but you still just look like a dude? Like, what? I mean, I got so many more questions than answers, Dave Davidson.
Oh, man.
You got any more? We got more.
Let's get a few more in here.
Let's get more spooky ones. It's Halloween. The food ones.
This one I've had queued up. It's not that spooky, but it's a good one. And it's a question that everybody asks, but I think it's a good question. Robert Trobaugh. Trobaugh? If you go back in time, what period of history would you go to? If you could change one event in history, what would you – I don't worry about changing the events and all that. But just what period of time would you like to spend 3 years, 4 years, 10 years in?
Time travel, time tourism. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a – I think of places – yeah.
I would love to be a caveman.
I was thinking that too, but
my
I think you're not –
my only responsibility is to just go out and find food.
That's really your only responsibility now.
Well, I was talking to somebody the other day.
That's my only responsibility. That's still your only qualm with the world now is that you got to go out and find food.
Yeah. But something about just, you know, being in on the bottom floor of humanity. The origin.
The bottom floor of humanity. What a fucking phrase for the way we are now. And obviously most of this information comes from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure from when they got the trail run. But I wonder if – I don't know enough about history to make an answer that I would agree with if I was more studious.
Uh-huh.
Right now, thinking about it, I wonder if because you think about the romanticized versions of all these things, being like a frontiers person, like – just exploring and going into a new land. But actually, when you read those real accounts, it was miserable and everybody died and you starved and it sucked. I think personally, I would probably just go back to the 80s. Mm-hmm. Like I think I would just go back to the 80s.
Go back to a period that you already lived.
Yeah, but I was only 10 in the 80s. And if I was like 18 in 1986.
I get that.
Because I can already remember being 10 and looking at kids that were in high school like, everybody looks like they're in the best time. I'm watching Spring Break on MTV, and everything looks fucking fun. And everybody that was like skateboarders or BMX riders by today's standards really weren't good. So if I got to go back and be 18 and go like, all I had to know how to do was drop in on a fucking half pipe and I could have been on the Swatch Impact Tour. Oh, man, I could do that now. Like if you're talking about what knowledge you have now that you can go back with, I'll just go back to the 80s. And have a baller time.
I get that. See, my version of that would be I'd like to be like 20 in mid 70s and just smoke weed and go see Sabbath and Skynyrd and Zeppelin and The Who. Just witness all this great rock.
Yeah,
you know, in the moment.
That's what I'm saying. I know it's not a very exploratory answer. Mm-hmm. I wish I was like more into science. Like, I'd love to go back and be pals with Nikolai Tesla and and see how the, you know, be there, be present where these amazing inventors. Like, no, man, be fucking wicked if I saw Guns N' Roses on Sunset Strip.
Yeah, caveman would be pretty rad.
Brandon Alsip says, if you had to choose a scary movie to be thrust into or a scary movie villain to be pitted against, what or who would you choose?
Huh.
Fucking good one. Hmm. Who would you... I mean, I guess that's with the knowledge that you know how the movie ends, so you can go into it with knowing that you'd have way out. I think the scariest... One of the scariest villains conceptually, I don't know about the movie itself, but the idea that Freddy Krueger only comes to you in your dreams, and how can you ever fight off sleep long enough?
Yeah.
That's a great concept for a villain. Like, Freddy's just a psycho. Like, just get out of the woods.
Yeah.
Or Jason.
Yeah.
You get out of the woods, you can fight Jason. But Freddy is like, he's in your dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going to fall asleep.
And he's just wicked. Just gnarly. Just, he's a motherfucker.
Yeah, and he's kind of funny once in a while.
Yeah.
Did they ever have anybody where they messed like lucid dreaming or like the concepts about consciousness to fight Freddy?
I don't know.
Or like, what if you were in a coma? Could Freddy kill you if you're in a coma? Because you're in a permanent dream state. Or talk about the horrors. You know what movie I don't think gets enough credit? It's kind of along those lines. Flatliners. I guess they just remade it.
Yeah.
I
like that.
I don't have any beef with remakes, but I also don't have desire to see it. But the original one, like the idea that like, oh, we can die for a little while and see the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would be in that movie because I would like the idea of like, yeah, kill me for a little bit and let me see what's out there.
I'd like to be in Texas Chainsaw Massacre and I'd give old fucking Leatherface a run for his money.
Really?
Yeah, I got a chainsaw too, buddy.
But you don't.
It's in storage.
Listen, Leatherface, you give me a minute.
You got a Husqvarna.
You give me a key. Let me get my keys. Hold on, I got a lot of keys here. Hold on.
Goofy bastard was stumbling around.
Yeah, he wasn't physically intimidating. You take that chainsaw away and
he's intimidating. He's a giant.
Well, but you take a chainsaw away and he's just a real slow fella.
Yeah.
Well, goddamn pork chop on his face.
Grandpa.
I like that one.
I do like that movie. That used to scare the shit out of me.
JC, special cases. Do either of you want kids or absolutely don't want them at all or just kind of whatever about it? Hashtag team no kids for life. Well, you got two more members on that team, JC.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate them. I'm friends with kids and I totally like their kids. For me, I like my life. Yeah. There's nothing lacking in it. And if I wanted to be real arrogant about it, I'd be like, the world doesn't need more people.
What's arrogant about that?
I'm not eager. But that's an arrogant way to explain. I also like, yeah, I'm just going to try and do as much cool shit as I can till I die, and kids would be in the way of that.
Yeah, I don't think legally I'm allowed to have kids until I get a proper dwelling. I'll say this real quick. I'm over the fact of like, oh, can't want kids and... I tell you what I dislike, though. Parents talking to their kids in public. I know they have to, but just, ugh, when I'm at the airport or I'm in line at Arby's and just, you know, Austin, do you want to do this and go, shut the fuck up.
I think if there's kids in line at Arby's, they're not having a great day either.
But just the tone that they, and I know you got to communicate with your kids and... But, oh, and it's just annoying. Just, what do you think? Maybe we should. They're always trying to teach them, and then what do we call this? And now what do we say to the nice man?
Well, because they're trying to raise a non-asshole.
I get it. Yes, I totally get it. But, like, just the day-to-day, the nuts and bolts of that is so annoying.
Team no witness. Kids at a day.
And, like, don't bring me into your little thing. Like, do you say to the nice man?
You're part
of have to say anything to me. Just, I'm going to keep going.
You're part of the learning process for the child.
No, I'm not.
You got one?
No, I'm sure. Let me see here, Kyle. Can or bottled beer? Ask Brandon Nelson.
Just from having a must. We already got one question in there, but we'll answer this one too, Brandon.
Oh, did he? I'm sorry.
I'll say having a mustache, bottled beer.
Really?
You ever get a mustache hair stuck in a can?
Yes. That's Red Bull's bad about that.
Yeah, that sucks.
It does hurt. As far as taste, there are some beers that I prefer a bottle and some beers I prefer a can. For example, right now, my favorite beer is Original Coors, but not a big fan of the old-timey, squatty medicine bottle that they've been churning out the last couple of years. I don't like that. You know what I'm talking about? The little
for
stubby.
For Coors?
Yeah, they have a little stubby.
Well, the little barrel?
I don't like that.
That's the original one.
I don't like that, though. So with Coors, I always go with a can. And then other types of beers, you know, maybe a bottle. I don't know. Coors Light, I'll take a bottle.
All right. Okay, hold on. We got a couple good ones. There's a lot of good ones here. You know what? I'm trying. We're going. This is the pay. You guys paid for this. We'll keep going on it.
Brian Lee, what's the saddest Jason Isbell song? That's got to be Elephant, right? The one about his friend dying of cancer. I don't know what gets more sad than that. I mean, all Jason
he knew an Isbell, elephant that died of cancer.
No, that's just the name of the song, elephant, as in elephant in the room. But all Isbell songs are sad, and all Drive By Trucker songs, someone dies. So I meant to do that for the podcast a couple weeks ago. I wanted to quiz Patterson. I wanted to find out for myself, do the homework, listen to all the songs, and figure out. You know, hey Patterson, Drive By Trucker's probably off the top of my head have. They got 11 studio albums. They got 130 songs that they put out.
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head. I guarantee you 55 of them, someone dies.
Well, that's a country band.
But yeah, I would say Elephant is probably the saddest Isbell song, just off the top of my head. But also, Brian Lee asked, what movies make you cry every time you watch them? I never cried no fucking movie.
I cried at The Bucket List.
Really?
I didn't cry it up. Everybody told me I was going to cry it up. I didn't cry it up. I'll just cry. If I'm watching a movie and I just like, it doesn't have to do with the movie. It has to do with like, if I'm like, all right, I'm home by myself and I need to fucking flush the pipes out.
Huh.
I'll do it. I'll just like, oh, you're tugging at my heartstrings and I'm going to let you right now. I'll just let it happen. It's usually inspirational things, though, as opposed to like sad.
Yeah, I get
somebody
that.
Dying. It's usually like when something's triumphant or exciting. Yeah, like the Rudy thing, but I never saw it.
I promise Rudy. This isn't a macho thing because, you know, when you're alone, what does it matter?
Is it Rudy?
I just don't cry at movies very much. I can't think of the last movie. I think I've just seen too much death.
I agree that it's hard to let yourself.
Yeah, I just don't. You know, the
But once you start letting yourself, then all of a sudden it's like, man, I'm going to cry at all these movies. Yeah, like anytime there's a moment like we're going to make you cry, I'm like, fuck, I might cry.
I haven't broken the seal. I mean, I'm not saying I never teared up in a movie, but it honestly, I can't remember the last time I did. You know what is I'm more vulnerable to than a movie as far as crying? Those pet commercials.
The Sarah McLachlan ones?
The Sarah McLachlan ones.
What if it's a movie about what if it's a movie about animal cruelty?
I mean, that would get me.
What if it's one of these? What if it's the one Marley and Me?
I haven't seen that just because somebody
or the dog a dog's purpose.
Why do I want to watch a movie where I know the dog dies?
Because of the dog's life. I never saw it. I'm not going to watch it.
My mom told me that. You should watch this movie, but the dog dies. I'm like, well
your mom really fucked up. Your mom got close to making you a whole person and then she really fucked it.
Those animal commercials get me, man. Little cats, little dogs.
All right, let me get one in here. Burr, 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 burr. Tim Perry, I think we talked about early spook out things. For both of you guys, what's an event earlier in your life that got you interested in all things weird and spooky? I don't think I had an event. I think I just like scary movies, and I like going into old, like sneaking around at night. I think I just like. Mm-hmm. I think you know what I did. I played a game. You ever play like a neighborhood game? I know you grew up in a super small town, but you ever play like Ghost in the Graveyard with like 30 or 40 kids? In my head, I'm thinking it was 30 or 40 kids.
Yeah, we would do like church functions sometimes.
Yeah.
Where, like we'd spend the night at the church and then like a lock-in, and then we'd all go out and get into some real wholesome mischief.
We played Ghost in the Graveyard, which I'm trying to remember the rules of. It was like tag. Oh, but what it was, like one person would be it, and then I'm probably wrong, but everybody would go hide. And we had like just – it was a suburb. It was like a subdivision. So we were just playing in the grips of like four or five suburban blocks big. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 20, 30 houses big, like a whole kind of neighborhood. And Ghost in the Graveyard, I think to the best of my knowledge, was one person would be it. And if you found somebody, then they'd join you to find everybody else that was hiding. And eventually it turned into a mob of people looking for a small amount of people
hiding.
That's interesting. But then it was just 20 kids running down a street looking for you. And just the idea of hiding and being like, oh, shit. Like, you're not scared of anything other than just being found. But the idea of trying to be quiet or, like, hiding in bushes and, like, how well did you hide yourself? And that's not so much a spooky thing, but that thrill of, like, somebody looking for you and, like, you're getting one up on them. I love that shit.
Yeah.
And I like that. I think that I mean, outside of other movies that I'd seen, that was something that, like, I like the thrill of that. And that, like scary movies or when you're just bored, like having a sleepover, like, let's go walk around at night. What was that? Did you hear some twig snap over there? It was the same kind of feeling. So that got me excited.
The thing I would do when I was 11, we moved way out into the wilderness, like into the North Georgia mountains. Like not like wilderness, but like the closest house is a half a mile away.
Oh, okay. Our neighbor, didn't have any kind of next door neighbor.
Yeah, no next door neighbor. Half a mile away was the closest house. And we had like 10 acres, like in the woods, in the forest.
Acres? I didn't even know places could, like, you could live somewhere that was defined by acres.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We had square footage. That's where I grew up.
And in Georgia, in the summertime, at night, we had katydids, which is like, you know what a katydid is? Kind of like a cricket. Cicada.
I was thinking of the – what's the hot dog-shaped plant thing that comes out of the cattails. Cattails. Yeah. Fuck.
Sounds made up. Anyway, the katydids in the summer at night, it was just like overpoweringly – loud.
Yeah.
But like, you go outside like at 9 p.m. and it was just ca-car, ca-car, ca-car.
Yeah.
That's not a good impression. But like hundreds of thousands of like crickets and katydids just chirping. And it was like this symphony. So anyway, my thing – so all kids are afraid of the dark. Mm-hmm. All kids are afraid of the woods at night and solitude.
Yeah.
So I had a brother, but he was always inside playing video games. So what I would do about once a week when we moved up there like that first summer – to kind of like to, you know, to get that adrenaline rush and face some fears.
Yeah.
I'd be like 10 or 11. It'd be 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And I'd just go out into the woods and I'd walk 100 yards deep into the woods.
Yeah.
Pitch black.
Just
katydids everywhere. Just, you know, the noise. And just stand there and be like, the fuck you got, dude? Come and get it. And
like, just come at me, unknown.
Yeah. And I would get scared, and eventually I'd be like, all right, I've had enough. But like, I'd spend 10, 15 minutes just standing in the dark wilderness at night just being like,
hell yeah. Thicken that skin up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Did you ever get it where they – like that's one of the things I talk about when – a detail in storytelling that I heard where those – like the bug, the insects or animals stop making sound. Like that's what you don't realize. You're using your visual sense – but it's like, what else is weird right now? It's like, oh, the sounds that should be happening in nature aren't happening.
That happens a lot in Bigfoot sightings.
All the animals stop?
Before people see a Bigfoot.
Insects?
Not necessarily insects, but like birds and other little varmints. Silent.
Yeah.
Because big dogs walking through the forest.
Big dog coming. Mm-hmm. Run tell that, sassy squatchies. Fucking hell. Burley Gates, have you guys heard of the conspiracy theory that the Titanic was switched with its sister ship, the Olympic, and was sunk in an insurance scam? What is it like one 23-year-old that was driving the Titanic? Listen, man, I got a plan. Also, my whole boat sank. And I just got a new stereo put in it. Like
the cops you were driving.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it was stolen out of my parking garage. The Titanic, owned by the White Star Line, which was owned by International Mercantile Marine Company, a company owned by J.P. Morgan, possibly the NWO. All right, you know what? I'll read about that. But it also seems like a pretty extreme way. Like that seems like a pretty extreme case of Greek lightning. Also, have you guys ever been to Jack Stack Barbecue in Kansas City? I fucking love this podcast. Like, do you think that the Titanic was switched with its sister ship? So therefore, J.P. Morgan, who owned the Titanic, could recoup the expenses under the guise of an accidental iceberg sinking. By the way, you ever have pulled pork over at TJ's in Springfield, Missouri? Pretty dope shit, dog. Anyway, get back to me.
That was good.
We're doing the fucking Lord's work here. I don't know. You know what? I'd read that Titanic one. That's pretty interesting. That's a curious one. Somebody else stopped talking about Kuma's Corner. Same gimmick as Grill at All. Yeah, it's a metal burger place. All right. I mean, what do we got else? Oh, Andrew K. Hello from Melbourne. Hello in yourself, Melbourne. I think I might be there next year. I'm interested in your takes on my three favorite comics. We're bringing it back to a comedy question. Again, if you don't want to shit anyone, but besides yourselves in most particular order, it goes Nate Bargatze. Fucking yes. He's one of the best. And as comics, we're always enamored with the fact that he's clean. And he doesn't do any act outs.
And he's medium to low energy.
Yeah, medium to low energy. Like, doesn't like try and, oh, he's not trying to sell you
not
on it.
Not selling it. I've never seen any comedian crush as hard as he does. I'm not saying he's the hardest crusher, but I've never seen anybody crush as hard as he does on zero act outs and medium to low energy and squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Never, I mean, no one. No one.
Yeah.
With those criteria. No one crushes as hard as he does because, and it's like, how do you do it?
What's it? Yeah, I'm up there dancing around, sweating my dick off, trying to get laughs. Anyway, yeah, Bargatze, great. Mike Birbiglia, I'm not an overwhelming fan, but for what he does, I think he's great at it. Like, I don't know all of his catalog.
He's great at what he does.
Falls in that NPR crowd.
It's a little too cutesy for me.
It falls into that NPR crowd.
He's really good. I'm not shitting on him. He's really good at what he does. His style is just a little too cute. I'm a cute guy.
Yeah, and some of the stuff in there does surprise me and stuff like his. Like that's a weird him talking about his sleepwalking and walking out a window. That guy's he's got the stories. There's meat in that sandwich.
Oh yeah, he's got chops. It's just a personal preference stylistically. I just, you know,
yeah.
My attention span is short for guys who are just kind of cutesy.
I agree. I don't think he's all cutesy, but it does. That is kind of a hallmark of his.
And Jeselnik.
Jeselnik is just...
he's his own thing at this point.
Yeah, and I think the fact that I saw him... It was a couple months ago where he's like doing new stuff, where he's doing jokes. Like, it's so great to watch these guys that... Not only like got to see him when we're, you know, 13 years ago in L.A. when we're all at the same shows... But knowing that they still go to do shows to work. Mm-hmm. And seeing Jeselnik keep his stage persona of being a cocky prick when a joke doesn't work and being delighted at it. Like, yeah. Now imagine if I gave you a joke that worked. You'd really think you should have paid more money for the show.
Yeah.
Now you think you're getting your values. Like, his attitude to compensate for a joke that like, and he knows. He's writing new jokes. Mm-hmm. And especially because he does write jokes. He sat there and wrote jokes, and the fact that they don't all make it, it's so heartening to be like, yeah, still work. There's still work to be done. I don't give a fuck who you are. There's still work. And some people can cover up by personality because like, oh, I'm sort of telling a story, and if the joke part doesn't work in the story, the personality will carry it through. It's like, no, Jeselnik's bits are based on the wording and the timing in which he says them. And when it doesn't work, he's still up there with his dick in his hand going, all right, how about it?
Yeah.
Good thing you guys didn't waste time seeing me in a theater where I normally play. Yeah. And then he'll say something hilarious on top of it.
Yeah.
I think your taste in comedy is pretty great, Andrew K. You're fine.
Have you seen any of his brand new material?
I mean, you mean on a special or?
Well, just like in person, like at
club. Well, no, that's what I'm talking about. When I saw him at this show working on bits.
It's
a challenge to try and be the darkest person in the world. Like, I wonder if that
does he talk about his life or his.
Oh, I see where you're going with it. And you know what? I don't know how much of that is out, so I'm not going to say anything.
Okay.
But no, from what I've seen, no. We don't have to hint at that. We ain't a fucking gossip column. No, no. Dave Jordan says if Brazzers invents time travel porn, I forgot we talked about that.
Time travel porn?
Didn't we talk about that? We got drunk and said something. Hmm. Who's in the first video you watch and how long until you watch Hitler go ball deep? Listen, just because you can time travel with porn doesn't mean everybody's going to be in the porn. Well, now that time travel porn exists, here's Abe and Mary Todd fucking putting a caramel apple on the stick. Like, that's not fucking.
What does that mean?
It means putting the fucking. It means fucking.
Okay. I didn't know.
I was trying to think of an old timey term. Good.
Did you just make that term up? Or is that an old-timey term?
No, that's not an old-time. Putting the caramel apple on the stick is not an old-timey term for fucking.
It's funny, though. You should use that.
Well, so no, that's my problem is I don't – just because porn exists now, it doesn't mean everybody does it. Just because you can time travel doesn't mean that they're going to fuck. Or, unless that was the premise we put forth in a previously drunken episode. It's another one about werewolves. What do you got? They're getting a long episode.
Yeah, it's a long one.
You're getting $6 worth out of a $4 episode right now, you guys.
L. Schaefer.
Let me remind you.
L. Schaefer says, do not play with wild animals, Dave. Chasing coyotes is not a good idea. Fuck you.
It's kind of like don't go chasing waterfalls. Mm-hmm. Amanda says, if werewolves are real and society accepted that they were real, do y'all think they'd be considered a new race of people, or do you think... Lycanthropy or lycanthropy, I don't know how to say that, even though that's about werewolves and I like werewolves, would be considered a disability since they literally wouldn't be able to do human stuff during the full moon. That's an interesting question. It's kind of like an X-Men mutant type thing is really all it is. Mm-hmm. Would you be like, are you going to get a good parking spot because once a month you want to eat people? Hmm. I would see it being like more of an X-Men type thing. Like, oh, you'd be a freak and you'd be quarantined. Mm-hmm. But also think – I would like a very real take on werewolves in a sense like, okay, full moon's coming. Put me in a cage. You know?
Yeah, don't let me out.
Like knowing that you're aware, like knowing that that's your disability,
yeah.
But your disability actually makes you stronger and more incapable of being controlled by humans. That's a weird idea. Like, oh, my disability is that it become a fucking beast that'll murder you.
Yeah.
So give me benefits.
I can relate.
Dave's old nighttime street fighter. Well, what we got anything else?
I think that was a pretty good we rummaged through most of
we yammered for a while. We cut into your baseball time, Dave.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm sorry about
that. Buddy.
You got a girlfriend you're going to try and hang out with now.
I'm trying to talk her and let me come over and watch some baseball.
All right.
I know what the ladies like.
Hey, man, let me watch your television. Well, Dave.
Yeah, these were good, man. Thanks, guys. Keep them coming. What's this?
This is us getting sued. Here it comes. Oh, I forgot how long this fucking thing. It takes 4 minutes to even get into the goddamn song. The 4 minute mark, he's just a cat. How good is this song, though?
This just, it just hit me. That, do you think the Teen Wolf dance was a ripoff of Thriller? Remember?
Oh, I think same era.
But
yeah.
The same beat.
No.
When they're doing the Teen Wolf dance?
What was the song for the Teen Wolf dance?
I don't know, but it's very similar to this.
It's just him. It's just him singing about the Thriller and describing things that are scary. Let's get the chorus. Oh, that wasn't the chorus. That was a cheat out chorus. He's a great dancer, mm-hmm. Undeniable.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, all right. Think about it this way. Here's what if he? How much inappropriateness with children? Like, imagine no Michael Jackson, but then Macaulay Culkin didn't get fucked.
Yeah.
Weird note to go out on. Fast forward.
I can't stop dancing.
See what I'm saying?
I'm like a werewolf, but with boogie in. Like, oh shit.
Look,
Dave's turning into a boogie monster. No pun intended there.
That's exactly what it's all about. Terrorize y'all's neighborhood. All right. Do we fade out, or do we just... This video is scary.
Yeah. Inside a corpse shell. When this was popular, what, 84, 85? I remember listening to this in the living room as a 9-year-old.
Yep.
And my mom was in the kitchen, and she went, "What are you listening to?"
We bought this. My parents bought this at a Venture department store, and I made sure it was on top of the grocery cart, like the shopping cart. Like, I want everybody to know we're getting on vinyl when vinyl's how you just bought music.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, we're finally getting Thriller. And then we went home and we taped it, like from vinyl to a cassette tape, so we could listen to our rooms. But we had to sit still and just listen to it because it wasn't like cable. It was just like loud through speakers onto a tape recorder. So I had the whole of Michael Jackson's Thriller album with just me and my sister occasionally being like, "I like this song." Like, "Shut up, you're ruining it." And that would just come in occasionally. Where's the chorus? I'm going to skip to the chorus. Oh, this is the part where they're going to be... Now he's a zombie. Ooh, the fucking shoopy shoop from side to side. Fucking yeah! Fuck, this is such a good song.
I always think about that Chappelle joke where he starts talking about Michael Jackson and the pedophile stuff, and he's just like, "He made Thriller, man. He made Thriller.
Thriller.
Thriller, man."
It's one of the best songs of all time. All right. Oh, this is where it got a little silly. Squid-oop, squid-oop. All right.
This is Thriller.
DJ fade out.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you, whatever. Love you.
The Boogie Monster. We'll be right back.